He desires us to have big, big faith. A big and deep and huge trust and confidence in Him. A faith that when tough times in life come, when we are faced with challenges, we actually find rest in Him. We don't find anxious nights of worrying about the future, but we actually have faith that says, I trust completely that God will be and do exactly what He said He will be and do. We do what we can and we leave the rest in His hands. Faith, when good times comes, it moves immediately to praise because it really sees everything that happens as coming from His hand. It's not some sort of forced ability to rejoice in good things. It just says, thanks God, this is sweet. You are good to me and I rejoice in it. A faith that when temptation comes, turns to God and maybe even says, I don't even know how I'm not going to do this thing, but I trust that you'll carry me through and I'm going to lean hard into you. And we start to resist areas in our life that maybe had sway over us. And so many more. Is that the impetus? Is, does our faith look like that? Is that sort of the kind of faith and trust and hope we have in God? Last week, our first thing that we talked about was practical teaching. We said we need to put ourselves in environments or places where the Word of God, Scripture, is opened up. We compared it to kind of like paint. We said paint is no good if you don't actually put it on the wall, right? If it sits in a can, it doesn't do anybody any good. The benefit is in the application. Jesus said that too. He said you need to be doing these things. Blessed is the one who does things, who practically takes the teaching and does them. So are you in environments, are you placing yourself in places where practical teaching is happening? Today is the second one called providential relationships. Providential relationships. I can tell you easily, this has been one of the most significant in my life that we will talk about. I can trace all five of these in my life in lots of places, but this one in particular, I have many, many, many examples in my life where God has used this to grow me spiritually. It's probably been one of the biggest catalysts in my life of faith. Relationships have some sort of a capacity for huge transformation in us, the way we interact with each other, and I think many of us simply underestimate or fail to recognize how powerful the people that are close to us are as to how our relationship with God actually goes, as to how much our faith is actually enlarged. We go on somewhat oblivious to the people God has placed right next to us, all around us, that are there for our benefit in faith. So I want to go a slightly different direction this morning than what I'm used to going when I give a sermon, or some of you are maybe you're used to me doing. Normally, I feel like I'd give some examples. We look at a passage of Scripture. We talk about some principles. We usually do an application at the end because that's important. And those are all good things, and I normally will do that. Today, I really want to give you almost what would amount to a personal testimony for the way this particular one has been a part of my life. Because providential relationships have played a huge role in my faith journey. And I want you to hear and maybe see in the stories how it is that God can use people in your life to really move forward or catapult your faith. Maybe the first thing you're thinking is, what is a providential relationship? That's a big word, Nate. What does providential mean? When we say the word providence or providential, it is something which is ordered by or given its motion or put into place or put into effect simply by the will of God. It is something God has done out of His divine power, His divine care and direction, His divine involvement, His oversight or His governance. So when we say divine relationship, it is a relationship in our life that God has divinely ordained. He has put there for our benefit, for our growth, for us to advance and move forward spiritually. So when we pair that together, a divine relationship, it's a pretty powerful concept. So I'm going to kind of step back from my notes more than normal, and I'm just going to tell you some stories from my life. And maybe you'll get to know me more than you want, but at least you'll know a little bit of what these relationships can look like. So I'm going to start way back at the beginning for me of what this sort of providential relationships, how it started. My mom, who maybe some of you met, was here last week visiting, and we were talking and multiple times in conversations with her now. It has come up that when I was a little kid, she prayed for me some specific prayers, but one of them was that other people would come into my life all throughout my life at times when I would need them specifically spiritually to help me understand God more, to process questions I might have, to come alongside and encourage me in moments that I was down or whatever about my faith, because she realized that she couldn't do all of that herself, that she would need someone else. And so she has reminded me multiple times that she has prayed for that. And so some of the effects of these good relationships in my life are her fault. And she lets me know about that every once in a while, which is good. But that's going to be a point later that my mom began to pray before I even was aware that these sort of relationships might exist in my life. The first one I'll describe to you is when I was kind of coming into that important stage of life, about 12 or 13, right? You've gotten through elementary school, and you all know that I was the church nerd, so I grew up in church, and I spent tons of time in Sunday school, and tons of time, I had lots of head knowledge. I knew lots of things about faith, even as a 12 or 13-year-old, because I'd been in every program the church offered up until that point, including camp every summer for a week, right? So I knew a lot of information. Around that 12 or 13 age time, I started to become really good friends with Jeremy, who was 4 years older than me. So picture the 12 or 13-year-old becoming friends with the 16, 17-year-old. Right? Now, if I'm thinking when I was 16 or 17, I'm thinking, you're not hanging out with me ever, right? I mean, I've been around middle school boys. Some of you have too. Yep, you remember being one maybe. I remember being one. That's not a fun, necessarily, age to hang. I'm not sure girls are much better, but I'm sure I wasn't a ton of fun, but Jeremy, who I also happen to be kind of related to, sort of took me in a little bit with his group of friends. So Jeremy and his really good friend Zach became sort of spiritual mentors almost without ever using the word. They made faith something that was fun and exciting. They made the idea of going to camp fun and exciting. They made the idea of serving together fun and exciting because they were old and they were cool and I wanted to hang out with them. Right, and then I'd go to youth group, and they were helping to lead and do things, and I was like, oh, that's cool, I really want to do that. Or they'd talk about times they were spending reading the Bible or praying or doing stuff together spiritually. And as a 12, 13-year-old boy, them taking me in that moment really did a lot of things for my faith. It pushed me into environments where what we talked about last week happened. It pushed me into environments where practical teaching was happening because I thought it was cool to be at those places because these guys sort of stepped into my life. They brought me in touch with other older guys, right? High school kids, Chris and Andy, people who became sort of like inspiration. And as I look back at my life, I can see that God brought those people into my life so that my faith could begin to really grow and become my own. It was during that season that I really started to say, I have to do this for my sake. I really have to think about my faith personally. And Jeremy was kind of the one that pushed me in that direction. Around that same time in high school, or so, a couple people who had been important up to that point, but never quite understood how important they were, became really important. My parents, some of you would know, got divorced when I was 13. And so processing that through middle school and into high school, I had a lot of questions, right? My parents were very involved in church. How could this happen? What does it mean, God, that my parents no longer are together? How am I supposed to process your teaching on marriage and faith and all of these things? And it was during that time that a couple named Jerry and Pat stepped into my life as sort of parents, people whose house I could just stop in whenever I wanted. In fact, they encouraged that, and they let me drink Mountain Dew, which, of course, as a high school kid, it was like, it was cookies and Mountain Dew. So, I mean, come on. I was there as often as I could be. As I got through high school, they would actually have supplies for grilled cheese and other things, and they would let us come over. I would even bring one of my friends. We'd go to their house. We'd eat lunch because it was so close to school. But Jerry and Pat became sort of the answer to the question of how do I understand marriage? How do I understand faith? How do I understand this thing that's going in my life and my anxiousness about not having a family unit anymore? And they stepped into that role and they showed me what faith looks like in a marriage. They showed me a little bit of what it looks like to love each other. In fact, they're two of the people that, for me, the most modeled what we would say the fruit of the Spirit is. When I think of someone who is joyful, who is loving, who is peaceful, who is patient, who is kind with me, who is gentle. That was Jerry and Pat. And it was a season of life where I needed to see someone live that. And they were that for me. They taught me what the Bible looked like. And I don't mean to cry, but they're awesome people. Okay, so I don't know if you've had that kind of relationship, but for me, I look back and go, that was significant. God really used some people in a tough time of my life. When I got out of high school, I went to college. And I think like many of you, and if you look back in your faith journey, if you knew God growing up, sometimes when you get to that college period, there's sort of a questioning time. There's sort of an evaluating time. You get out and you explore ideas and you explore concepts. And as I did that, I had lots of questions. I was kind of also a little bit of a geek, so I liked science. I enjoyed rational thinking, all of these things. And I started to ask questions like, is this just too simple? How do I really understand faith? And it was during that time that I met a very interesting man. He happened to be a professor at the school. That's not necessarily unique, but he was from somewhere over in Europe. Can't remember the country now. And I'll just tell you a story. Because when he was young, he studied physics. And he got his degree really quickly because physics was like easy for him, which makes no sense to me. But it was like snapping his fingers, like he just got it, right? So he got his degree but wasn't interested in that. So he took all of his money, he bought a train ticket or a plane ticket or whatever he did, and he went to India and he started studying Buddhism and Hinduism and all these other religions because he was trying to find what was actually true. He felt this void in his life as a young man in the Netherlands, that's where it was. He ended up going broke. He couldn't find an answer to his quest. So he hitchhiked, he told me, back to the Netherlands where he got his master's in some kind of physics because he was bored and that was the simplest thing to do. So now he has his master's in physics, but he's not interested in physics. He's just doing it because he feels like he needs to. So now he's like, where can I find truth? Where can I find answers to these deep questions in my soul? So then he goes, and I can't remember if it was South Africa or if it was South America, but he went to somewhere to search tribal religion. He wanted to go find some people who were away from civilization, who were back to the roots of things, who weren't confused by all of the technology and all of the modernity. And so he did. He went and he goes to these crazy lengths to try to find truth, but he ends up getting really sick because if you go eat people's food in uncivilized countries, it's not necessarily good for you. So he ends up super sick, gets rescued by an American, some kind of medical team, is brought back to the States, whether it's in hospital, I don't know, or when he's staying in a motel or later, he finds a Bible and starts reading. And that's how he comes to faith. He goes back and gets his PhD in physics of some kind. And at the time he was teaching at the school I was at, he was the highest ranking non-native born person in the U.S. military. In fact, when he was teaching at school, that was when the anthrax scare happened. And he was teaching my general physics class or whatever it was called, general science, which is another small miracle that God did because he taught upper level classes, but somehow I got him for this under level class. He would get called out of class. He'd be, hey, I got to go for 2 weeks. I got to go to D.C. and work on the anthrax scare. So he'd go, but he couldn't tell us that. He'd just say, I have to go to work. And we would kind of put pieces together that he was going to be gone. He spent a lot amount of time working in biological warfare and all this stuff with the military. But he was not interested in science. He was interested in philosophy. He was interested in religion. And that was where he spent his time studying. And so this man became a friend, someone whose house I went to, someone who was in the Bible studies that I attended. And as we talked, so many of those questions in my soul that I was wrestling with, Dr. Wim van der Meer from the Netherlands gave me answers to these things, helped me talk about faith in a way that understood reason, helped me connect dots between things we often think of as dividing. When I was questioning and poking, he came back with intelligent, responsive answers and a humbleness that made me trust him. And he showed me what faith looks like in a way that Wesley once said, do not be swallowed up in books. He said, because an ounce of love is worth a pound of knowledge. That was Dr. Van der Meer. He had all the knowledge, but the love that he showed is what helped me understand and trust God in that questioning season of life. At the same time, I met a guy named Josh. He worked with me at the PAC, which was the Performing Arts Center. And he became kind of an okay friend in college. But for some unknown reason to me, after we got married, my wife and I, and moved to West Virginia to run the campground, he decided to come work for me. Which is crazy. I wouldn't do that if I were you. So he comes and works for me, and he's living. He spends one summer. And I've mentioned before that next summer for me and for Maria was a really tough. We'd had a tough marriage for the first year and a half, but that summer was brutal. It was a tough season in marriage, and it ended up resulting in us leaving West Virginia. And by the providence of God, this guy who had been a sort of good friend was still living only 45 minutes away. And he became someone who, through that transition of my life, continued to pray with me and talk with me, continued to process what it is that was happening in my life and maybe places that I was being selfish in this and how I needed to really seek God in my marriage and how I needed to serve Maria better. And all of these things, Josh just conveniently happened to be close. He was the only person we knew within hundreds of miles, really. And he was there when I needed someone to help me wrestle with faith through sort of the crisis of marriage, which led to maybe just one more. From there, we moved to Texas. And we knew of people there. In fact, I had an aunt and uncle there, Ken and Corrine, and we knew them. But we didn't know them well. They were people that maybe I'd seen like once or twice in my life. You know, like at sometimes random occasions. But I knew of them, and I knew they had a strong marriage, and I knew they were Christians, and I knew they had four sets of kids who all had kids, and they were all married. And these were really solid relationships, faith-based. And we were in a place in our marriage that wasn't that. And so we moved there, And they became another providential relationship for us. People who we sat down with at times or just watched and said, how is this actually supposed to work? Because we're not doing it. And they spoke into our lives wisdom. They spoke into our lives an understanding of what maybe God might have us to do in our marriage. And so did their kids. And they became close friends to us for that period of our life. I'll give you one more just because I feel like embarrassing him. But I've come here as the first time I've been leading a church, right? And lots of things can happen when you do that. I've been on staff at churches. But I get here, and who else is here but the great pontificator, Doug Batchelor. And I'll say Doug's been a providential thing for me because you don't know this or not, as young as he looks, but he's been around the block a couple times. And so there's been moments as I've gone through this that Doug has just spoken wisdom. It's for me a providential relationship. Doug doesn't have to be here, but he is. Have you thought as I've been talking, are there relationships in your life that mirror some of these things where God has placed someone close to you? And as you look back, or even as you're in it, you go, that's exactly what I needed for my faith to grow in this moment. Because without that person, without their perspective, without their wisdom, maybe I wouldn't have been able to process it the way I did. There's probably some of us who sit here and think, now, Nate, you've talked for I don't know how long, and you have not yet mentioned a Bible verse. You haven't given us any verses yet. I realize this. So I'm going to give you some for the sake of giving you some. But I think this is a concept that finds its way through Scripture everywhere. When you look at great friendships in Scripture, if you go to Jonathan and David and you say, was that a providential relationship where they were there for one another in a moment when they needed one another and God used them in each other's lives? I think you could say yes. If you looked at Ruth and Naomi, if you looked at Paul and Timothy, if you looked even at Jesus and the disciples, was he not a providential relationship for them? I think we see all through Scripture that at the right God-ordained time, he brings people into your life to speak truth, to give wisdom, to build faith. But there are verses that speak to it, so I'll give you some. Proverbs 13:20 talks about who you associate with. Walk with the wise and become wise, or associate with fools and get in trouble. That's the company that you're keeping. That's who's speaking into your life. 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be misled. Bad company will corrupt good character. Depending on who's speaking into your life, if that's someone that is divinely put there so they might build faith, they're going to encourage. If they are someone who's not, they might continue to corrupt what God is trying to do. In 2 Chronicles, if you want to write them, in chapter 10 and in chapter 22 is the story of two kings, Rehoboam and Ahaziah. Both of these guys, Scripture clearly says, had gotten great advice from people who were in their life, godly wisdom, from people that were close to them relationally, and they rejected it outright for wisdom from other friends that ultimately led to their ruin. Proverbs 22 teaches more on these passages. All through Scripture, God-inspired providential relationships feature regularly. I believe it's because God uses them to grow faith. He did it in the Old Testament. He did it in Jesus' life and ministry. He did it in my life. I think he wants to do it in yours. So here's my questions. Who in your life already has been a providential relationship? As you look back at your life, are there people who have stepped in moments and you've gone, that is exactly what I needed, God, in that time of my life, to understand you, to continue to connect with you, to press on through so my faith might grow? Are there people like that? I might encourage you, if there are, to try to encourage them. Maybe they just need a note that says, thank you for being that person for me. Maybe you need to make a phone call and just say thanks, because my faith is stronger because of you. Second one is, who in your life right now is supposed to be or is a providential relationship? Maybe you know they already are. Maybe you can identify them as people that are close to you because they build faith in you. And how are you responding to them? You know that we can actually hinder what it is God wants to do in our life through these relationships. If you think of every one of those stories that I just told you, I could have responded to all of those individuals differently. I could have rejected them. If you've met them, you would know for the most part they're not a lot like me, except for the one friend, Josh. Most of them are radically different people with different interests, not things that we would connect on. And I probably could have outright rejected them on all of those different things. You're not into the things I'm into. You're not good at sports, and I am. I mean, on and on and on. There are all these things. But they were people that I think I tried in my very frail state to understand that God had put there, and I needed to try to open myself to what it is that they were saying. Are there people in your life who you've marginalized because you're not sure? And maybe God's wanting those people to be the ones that really build and push your faith forward. I'm grateful that God gave me enough of an ability just to let those people in, to connect with them, to learn from them, to listen to their wisdom. I can see dividends in my life. It's not because I'm an amazing person. It's because God used them, and I just opened myself to it. So are there people in your life that you just need to open yourself to? The third question might seem strange, but in each situation, to some degree, I was in a position where I was around people that might be providentially good for me. Meaning, I was in a good potential location to find providentially good people. So I was at a college that was a Christian college with a lot of people with a Christian worldview, and then I opened myself up to a person who specifically spoke into that. I found myself in a youth group with older people who could mentor me and lead me spiritually. So my question is, are you in environments? This is a good one, but there's probably others, camps or conferences or concerts, with people who might become providential relationships, and you know that there might be a high likelihood of them in a place. It's like the man who's trying to find a spouse and dating but spends all his time hanging out with his single guy friends, right? He doesn't have much of a pool to draw from. Are you putting yourself in places where godly, spiritually deep people are, so when you need a providential relationship, you find one? Because God works through those people. Maybe a fifth one is this. Are you the providential relationship? Is there someone in your life who God is wanting you to step alongside? Because God works through you in people's life to build faith. Is there someone that he needs you to step in and be the providential relationship for? And I'll add a sixth one. Are you praying for your family about this? I started with my mom. I think those prayers she would say were answered in my life. Are you praying for your kids and for your spouse and for your home? That God will bring people in to fill in the gaps in your kid's life, in your husband or your wife's life, to meet and build and grow their faith. Not just to be friends. I'm not just talking about people you invite over for dinner. I'm talking about people who encourage you spiritually, who build your faith, who help you turn to God in tough moments, who are there to weep with you and cry with you and rejoice with you, and all the while point you back to God. We have to be intentional about these kind of relationships. We have to make space for them. If we're not intentional, lots of things will crowd these relationships out. I used to tell, when I was a youth pastor, I felt like I was blue in the face telling kids that the quality of their friendships, the people they hung out with, would determine a lot of their future. That who they're with will change radically where they end up. Are they surrounding themselves with people that are pushing them in good directions? Not, and I would mostly mean spiritually, but when they're in high school, I'm actually just meaning, will they get you even through school sometimes, right? Like, are you even around people that help you do homework? Like, that's sometimes my question. But what I really meant was spiritually. Are there people in your life as a teenager that are continuing to press you forward spiritually? That question is not just a good question for teenagers. If it's true at 15, it's true at 20, it's true at 30, it's true at 50, it's true at 100, it's true until the day we die. It's important that we're intentional about some relationships in our life that are building faith in us, that are encouraging us to grow. So who in your life has God used that way? Who is in your life right now that God might be wanting to use that way to build your faith? Are you putting yourself in some places to really be encountering those kind of people? Are you open to being that person for someone else? And are you praying maybe that God would provide for you, for your spouse, for your kids, these kind of relationships? Because these relationships build and deepen and grow our faith, and we need them. It's my prayer for you, and I want to pray for it together. Let's do that. Father, this is a topic I think that just finds its way sort of woven through Scripture, where you have brought people together who maybe even from the surface have no business relating to each other. But yet, because you've drawn them together, the faith of each is deepened. They are encouraged, they are inspired, they are drawn closer to you, and their faith is enlarged. So for each of us here today, will you allow us to identify people in our life right now who you've kind of brought us into relationship? There's always that awkward moment of kind of opening ourselves up to them, but will you allow us to identify them and to really step forward and just saying, I'm opening myself up for you to be someone that God uses to encourage and uplift me. If there's people in our life that you've given us the wisdom and the grace to be that person for them, will you allow us to do that? Will you allow us to step in and just through the power of your Spirit be an encouragement to someone else's faith? And God, we pray for the lives of our families, for the lives of so many of our kids that are downstairs right now, that you would bring people into their life at moments when they need it, to uplift them, to grow them, to build them in faith, to be the ones who can fill in the gaps of places we just can't cover. And we trust that through all of it, you will draw us into closer relationship with you and to your Son Christ. I think that's your goal in all of this. So help us, Father, help us to be that kind of relationship, help us to receive it. And as we go, let us enjoy a week that's going to be beautiful. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.